Everybody,
good
morning. It's good to see everyone today, and I know we're going to receive a blessing as we worship. Please note the announcements in the bulletin that we will scan. On the one side is the Poinsettia Memorial and Honors list to this point. Then please note a thank you from Cecilia Davison. The toy drive and food drive will be ending basically in the morning. The two organizations will be coming to pick up their items tomorrow. So if you have meant to support this and have not remembered to do so, they need to be at the church first thing tomorrow. So please make note of those two things. One announcement, please note that it's boxed in the announcement page here. Due to the COVID-19 situation, we will have a Christmas Eve service online only this year. We hope that this is the only year we have to do that, but online only this year. We will celebrate Holy Communion in the service. So if you will be listening online and would like to participate in communion, the elements will be available to pick up as in the narthex as you leave. Please feel free to pick up as many as will be with you when you are listening. We have plenty of elements, so please don't be shy if you're going to have several people with you. So please note those elements will be available when you leave if you will be listening to the Christmas Eve service online and would like to participate in Holy Communion that day. Are there announcements that should be made that were not made? If not, it's always a joy as the Lord calls us together, so let us gather and worship His most holy name. Gracious and loving Lord, we do thank you that indeed you are with us. We offer this service to you. We pray that as we proceed, that our hearts and minds are in that place where you receive our thanksgiving and praise, and we receive your messages to us. We pray that this service indeed will be pleasing to your sight and hearing, and that it will strengthen your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our litany this morning is based on the hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Let's join together. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by.
Yet in thy heart tree shine the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight.
For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love.
O morning stars together, proclaim the holy bird, and praise sing to God the King, and peace to man on earth.
How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven.
No ear may hear his coming, but in this world sin, for meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ in our sin.
O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today.
We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell.
O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Today, we relight the first two candles of the Advent wreath. The candle of hope. With Christians around the world, we prepare our hearts in anticipation of Christ's coming. The candle of peace. Reminds us that Jesus has come to bring peace among God's people. And now the third candle of the Advent is the candle of joy. The pink candle reminds us that our waiting period is almost over. It's getting closer to the birth of our Savior. And it's also called the shepherd's candle. The angel told the shepherds that Jesus' coming would bring good news and great joy to all the people. So the shepherds joyfully shared the good news of Jesus' birth. Our scripture is Luke 2, 10 and 11. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I will bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Every time we sing the carol, Joy to the World, we're sharing the good news also. When we sing this carol, we look back to the first coming of Christ, celebrating his birth. And at the same time, we look forward to the day when all nations will prove the glories of God's righteousness and the wonders of his love. When Christ comes into our lives, he brings the fullness of great joy. As the coming of Jesus, our Savior, draws nearer, our joys build with eagerness and an excitement of his birth. Let us pray. With joyful praise, we praise you, Lord. With joy, we acknowledge that our hearts are new. Grant us solid joy that lasts beyond the Christmas season. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
And as we go to prayer this morning, as always, please refer to your prayer list that's printed in our bulletin. This morning, do want to remember Rick and Nell Mazur, his family in a special way. Nell's mother passed away Friday, and so we want to remember this family. And, of course, we want to remember the COVID situation. I know that's been on everybody's minds, and it's almost one of those duh statements, but the reason I bring it up particularly this morning is you all received my email and or letter. And we are still in a watching place, but to keep you up to speed, we have been in the high risk category now, the highest risk category for either 4 or 5 days straight. And our numbers of cases every 24-hour period is on the rise. So at this point, we're still going to be meeting, but having to watch everything closely. So obviously, continue to remember that situation, as it's not only Greene County, but if you follow the website that I follow, you'll see that 2/3 of Georgia is in the high-risk category. So we do want to remember that the COVID situation, in a, as we all have been remembering, but in a more intense way. Are there joys or concerns that should be voiced that were not? If not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we do thank you, for this is the day that you have made, and we do rejoice and are glad in it. And we come this morning, probably many of us, with mixed emotions. We thank you that you awoke each one of us, and we see another day. And we share another day with brothers and sisters in Christ. We share another day with loved ones. We have another chance to worship and to serve you. Every time we step into this holy room, we experience the joy and the energy of being in your special presence. Yet, Lord, at the same time, we have to admit that we're tired. We're tired of wearing masks. We're tired of having to sit and stand apart. We're tired of having to have services online when they are usually times of gathering in celebration. Yeah, Lord, in our fatigue, we also praise you because you have not gone anywhere. We have not liked everything that has gone on. We've not liked a lot of things that have gone on, but you have not gone anywhere. And indeed, you are with us in the midst of it. So we just pray this morning that you remind us that we are able to praise you, we are able to experience the joy of your presence, not only in those times that go the way we like, not only in those times that are obvious celebration, but even more in those times in which we struggle. Thank you that you never leave us, nor do you ever forsake us. And so we worship you, we praise you, we thank you. And in that confidence of your presence, in your faithfulness, you know the names that are upon our prayer list. We pray that your healing touch will be upon each one for as long as someone is on our prayer list, whether their name is voiced or not, they still are struggling. And so, Lord, we pray your healing touch upon each and every one as we trust them to your will and your wisdom. We pray in particular for the Mazur family as they grieve the loss of Nell's mother this morning. We pray your peace will envelop them, and that peace that passes all understanding. And we do pray for this COVID situation, Lord. We know that you are the great physician. We know that you are the God of all creation. And so we just pray, Lord, that you guide those who are in charge in the right decisions, that you will use this vaccine to eradicate the widespread of this illness. But in all of it, Lord, we pray that we will continue to remember to trust in you. We thank you, as always, that we're worshiping you in the freedom of this moment. May we never forget what a privilege and responsibility that is. So may we never take it for granted. May we never take for granted those who protect that freedom, both in civilian and military roles, as persons are doing so even as we worship. May your protection be upon those who protect us. May your healing be upon the wounded, the visible and the invisible wounds. And may your peace be upon the families whose loved one gave it all. And Lord, we do thank you for the fellowship of Christians that worships, serves, and fellowships here at Walker. We pray that as you have blessed us, we indeed will be a blessing to this community and even the world. And remind us that when we leave these grounds, your Holy Spirit is still with us. Lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed, and bring us back to worship you and to encourage each other. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Gracious and loving Lord, you have blessed us beyond all measure, and so we thank you for the opportunity to give back to you. We pray that as your people have done so, that your blessings continue upon each gift and giver, and that you guide us as a congregation, that every penny entrusted is used according to your will to further your kingdom in this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
You'll be happy to know that you don't have to listen again to what I sang last week, which is, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. When Mark Lowry was in college, an inspiration came to him. And it came to him as he was working on a script for a singing Christmas tree performance at his church. The pastor had tasked him with writing the script for this, for the nativity story. And Mark says that as he was working on this, he got to realize that the central character of everything that led up to Jesus' birth was Mary. From the time the angel announced to her that she would be carrying God's son to the time she gave birth, it was Mary who carried that child. It was Mary that kept those things and pondered them in her heart. It was Mary who had to deal with the shame, disgrace. And it was Mary who had to be thankful to Joseph that he, in fact, did not have her put to death, which was his right in those days. And as he got thinking, Mark said, I wonder what was in Mary's mind as she was going through those 9 months. And I kept thinking, did she really realize what was going to happen after she gave birth to this baby boy? He made a list of what he called questions for Mary. And all of them started with the phrase, did you know? He finally wrote the song down, and the rest, as they say, is history.
So much. Our scripture lesson this morning is Isaiah 40 verses 1 through 11. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All the people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather their lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are times when we just want to cry out for relief. When struggles come, they seem to pile on, as they seem to come in bunches. After a while, enough is enough already. We cry out asking God, how long is all of this going to continue? The people of Judah have been in exile somewhere between 50 and 70 years, basically a lifetime. There were very few, if any, of those who were originally taken to Babylon still alive. You will recall the devastation and humiliation of exile, and Judah's identity and relationship with God was intricately tied to the land. And the ancient Jewish mindset, to be removed from the land was to be stripped of their identity as a people. And even worse in the mindset of the ancient Hebrew, to be taken away from Judah's borders was to be taken away from God. Most of those who remembered firsthand the presence of God, who remembered firsthand life in the land, were either deceased for the most part, and the present generation only knew of the former relationship with God, the former relationship with the land, through the memories of the very old or stories from the previous generation. And so it would have been easy for the present generation to conclude, well, our parents and our grandparents blew it. They crossed the line with God. We'll never know that relationship with God. We'll never know that relationship with the land. We might as well just get used to it and move on. And then the prophet declares, comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received double from the Lord's hand for all her sins. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. God has declared that the people have suffered enough. They're about to be escorted back to the land. Their relationship with God is about to be restored. Advent and Christmas reminds us that the Lord continues to proclaim comfort to God's people. We are reminded that through the birth of Jesus, God breaks into the exiles of our lives. And if you know your Old Testament to a point at least, you know that Judah was an exile by her own doing. God did not send Judah into exile. God had repeatedly told Judah how to avoid it, but Judah wouldn't listen. And so when Judah ends up in exile, Judah has sent themselves there. It's not been God sending them. Judah had refused to listen to God's corrections and warnings and thus paid the consequences. Then when God had determined that Judah's punishment had been completed, God sent the prophet with a message of comfort and new beginnings. Sometimes we find ourselves in exile. And sometimes we find ourselves in exile by our own doing, that we put ourselves there. We make wrong decisions when all along we knew what the right thing was. And the decisions don't necessarily have to be sinful as we think about them. We can make financial decisions based on what we want to happen, based on what we hope will happen, as opposed to what the evidence actually reveals. And then when we make those type of decisions based on desire as opposed to good judgment, and we find ourselves in financial straits, too often we ask God, "I thought you were going to provide for me." And God says, "Well, I did, but you made some bad decisions. And you're in exile because you put yourself there." In our relationships, and I'm sure you wives never do this, but we husbands do it all the time. We know what we should say or not say. We know what we should do or not do. But our pride or our ego gets in the way. And then we find a damaged relationship or a severed relationship. We wonder why. Well, we put ourselves in exile. We can know certain practices are either beneficial or detrimental to our health, but we choose that we had rather ignore the facts and rather do what we want. And then when our health suffers, we ask God to heal us. And dare I say, does God not sometimes say, "Well, I'm sorry you're going through this, and I'm not saying you're not going coming up to heaven with me, but you put yourself there. You put yourself in exile." I'm sure you can think of other examples, but these three remind us that often, just as the people of Judah refused to listen to God and found themselves in exile, we can thrust ourselves into exiles that God never intended. But we forget too many times. God created the moral laws of the universe. Regardless of what society wants to tell us, God created morality. And when we break it, we break it to our detriment. God created the physical laws of the universe, and He doesn't break those laws in order to accommodate our desires or our lack of good sense. God created the physical laws of the universe, and God does not change the consequences of the results of our decisions. Now, the good news is, if we will turn back to God when we have sinned or when we have ignored God's guidance, we are not left in our exile. Judah had sinned terribly. They had gone way past falling short of God's will. You know what falling short of God's will is, don't you? It's where we don't want to admit we've been sinning. I don't sin. I fall short of God's will. That's a freebie. That's just kind of a parenthesis. But Judah had gone way past falling short of God's will. They frankly didn't care what God's will was. Yet God did not forget Judah. Indeed, in time, in God's time, God brought the people home. And there are, of course, many times when we find ourselves in exiles of which we had no control over. We didn't do anything to put ourselves there. The aging of our bodies present their own exiles, even if we've tried to take care of ourselves. Sometimes, because of the global nature of the economy, government regulations or lack of, depending on the situation, and any other number of circumstances beyond our control, our finances can take a dive and we're in exile. When grown children go completely opposite of the parents raising them in the faith, one is in exile. It's in such times we lean upon the faith in God as described in our scripture lesson. The prophet depicted God as the shepherd of the flock, leading the flock safely home. The flock was completely dependent upon the shepherd. The prophet said, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." When we find ourselves in exile, the prophet reminds us that God still loves us, that God still cares for us. As the good and the honorable shepherd cares for the flock, so we can trust God. And God uses people to bring comfort to an exiled world. With the coming of Jesus, whose birth we celebrate at Christmas, humanity's relationship with God became incarnational. God lived with and ministered to people in human form. And when Jesus went back to heaven through the Holy Spirit, God gave us the awesome privilege and the awesome responsibility of being Christ's body on earth. Have you ever given that serious thought? Not just passing thought, but serious thought. If Jesus' ministry is going to continue on earth, it's not going to be through heavenly angels. It's going to be through people like me. It's going to be through people like you. We're not little gods. Don't take my next statement wrong. We are not little gods, but we are the incarnational presence of God upon this earth. If the church, if the people who call ourselves Christians do not carry out the work of Jesus, it doesn't get done. Succinctly put, Jesus touches the lives of others through people. Jesus ministers through you and me. Now, the most visible form of Christ's ministry through people, of course, is the church. And there are various professions that can quite easily be seen as ministries as well as professions. But the Lord can just as easily take any of us, regardless of our age or any other factor, to touch and comfort people in the most simple yet powerful ways. A gentleman named Robert Smith of Pennsylvania recalled an incident in his life in 1962 when he was about 12 years old. He said it was 2 days before Christmas and the season's first snow had blanketed the ground, so he was all dressed up and ready to go play in it when about that time his mom comes driving up. She asked him to help take in the groceries, which he did. And then she said, "Bob, here are Miss Hildebrandt's groceries," which she said nothing else needed to be said as long as he could remember. His mom had bought the groceries for Miss Hildebrandt and he delivered them. Miss Hildebrandt was their neighbor. She at this time was 95 years old and lived alone, crippled with arthritis, no family. She could just make a few struggling steps with her cane. And so the author recalled how as a little boy he loved to go to Miss Hildebrandt's and she would tell him stories about her life, stories about a steeple church in the woods, horse and buggy rides on Sunday afternoons, and the family farm with no running water or electricity. And every time he went and delivered those groceries, Miss Hildebrandt gave him a dime. Now, I was only 4 years old in 1962, so I really don't remember, but I'm told in 1962 a dime would really buy something. But being Christmas, Bob decided, you know, I'm not going to take that dime today. But instead, Miss Hildebrandt insisted in being Christmas. She gave him a quarter. And so he hurried to the candy store across the street, and he was trying to decide whether to buy candy or ice cream, and he spotted a Christmas card. A Christmas card with an old country church, just as the way Miss Hildebrandt had always described. So he bought the Christmas card. Allow me to quote the author as he concludes his story. "As I walked back across the street with my gift, I was so proud of myself, I felt like I just hit a home run to win the World Series. No, I felt better than that. I rang Mrs. Hildebrandt's doorbell. The almost inaudible sounds of shuffling again reached my ears. The chain rattled, the door creaked open, two shiny eyes peered from within. "Hello, Miss Hildebrandt," I said. I handed her the card. "Merry Christmas." Her hands trembled as she slowly opened the card, studied the card, and began to cry. "Thank you very much," she said. "Merry Christmas," almost in a whisper. On a cold and windy afternoon a few weeks later, the ambulance arrived next door. My mom said they found her in her bed. She had died peacefully in her sleep. Her night table light was still on, illuminating a solitary Christmas card. During this season, may we receive a new gift of love and comfort from God through Jesus Christ. And then because we have received those precious gifts, let us share those gifts of love and comfort to an exiled world. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we human beings find ourselves in exile so many times. Sometimes it's because we have been stubborn and our ego or our pride has gotten in the way, and for those times, we pray your forgiveness. Many times we find ourselves in exile because life puts us there. There wasn't a thing we could have done. It just happens. Lord, thank you that whether we put ourselves in exile or whether life thrust us into exile, your presence does not leave us. Indeed, when we turn to you, you forgive us. And in those times in life, when it's been beyond our control, you gather us in your arms and you gently care for us. And so, Lord, we just thank you. And Lord, for us, as we still have ability and we still have life, we still have energy, we know we cannot address persons' exiles all in the same way, but Lord, we can all address the exiles of the world in some way. Show us our way, that we may be the hands, the feet, the voice of Jesus Christ to a searching and exiled world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. And would you please stand for our benediction? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen. And don't forget, communion elements are available in the narthex if you wish to observe Holy Communion on Christmas Eve with us.